Okay, if you have your Bibles this morning, your smart devices, let's flick those on and jump into John chapter 3. If you're here this morning and you're without a Bible, you don't actually physically own one, I have a pile of them here. I'd love to give them to you. Just some clarification. This yellow one is if you're just newly saved and you want to know some basics about Christianity, there's some footnotes here to help you. As you read the Bible, there's some explanations of that. If you are been around the church, you understand all of that. This is an NIV. This is almost the same Bible that I preach from right here. Just straight up Bible. No footnotes, just those are those. So if you're here this morning, you need a Bible, please come see me at the end of the service. I'd love to give you one. I'd love to sign it for you. Personal autograph. I don't know if that's really worth anything, but there it is. So John chapter 3. Let's try and bring some order to this service. Let's just pause for a moment. Let's just pray. God, this morning we, so much has already happened in the service, but Lord, we just want to put our attention to you as you speak through your word. Father, we thank you that it's alive. It has authority and power in our lives. We thank you that it has the ability to change our situation. And God, I just pray that it would speak to our inner beings. It wouldn't speak to our head, but it would speak to our heart this morning. Change our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so it's quite a story here. I want to read the whole story so we can get a taste of what we'll be speaking about this morning. Then we'll touch on three elements of it, and then we're going to bring some people up. We're going to water baptize them. So here we go. John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.' In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.'" This is his reply. Like, isn't that a Jesus statement? You're like, what? You know, explain that to me, right? How can a man be born again when he's old? Nicodemus, I'm assuming, was an older gentleman. Nicodemus asked, "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Head knowledge response, right? He's like, that doesn't even compute. Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit." Praise God! We need the Spirit of God. "We should not be surprised at saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Head knowledge response. "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you don't understand these things. You have so much knowledge, you have so much understanding, but you don't understand these things. And I tell you the truth, you speak of what we see now, and we testify of what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things?" No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up." Let me just make sure I'm not going too far here, because this is a full-on, there's so many aspects of this. "But everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." And that's what we are reminded of as we take communion, that Jesus Christ died for us so that we have a destination, a place with him in heaven. So what happens in the meantime, though? I think sometimes we think, okay, I know where I'm going. I know I've got a ticket, the golden ticket. I know that where I'm going to end up in the end. But what happens between now and then? And this is what this is speaking about. It's so, so important that we understand this. So let's just pull out three verses of the story because there's so many elements here. So verse 6, it says this, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. That which is born of flesh is flesh." So what is he saying here? Like, if I get born again, it's still being born of the flesh. There will be no change. We are told what we are. We're flesh, and we're human, and we're corrupted fleshly human beings. We read this in the Bible, and I will share that with you. I'll explain that more in just a second. The soul is still a spiritual substance that we wrestle with. We have the flesh, and then we have the spirit. There's a part of us that we can't physically see, but there's a spiritual part of us. And we so often in life and as we live our lives out, that the flesh for me was winning for a long time. The fleshly desires of this world, the fleshly thoughts that I had, the fleshly things that I loved, that I was passionate about, that were worldly things, seemed to be winning against the spiritual part of me. The spiritual part of me looked dead and weak and wimpy, and I thought, I don't understand that part of it. How do I wrestle with that part of it? And I just understood the flesh. And until we're born again, born of the Spirit, it's really hard to understand and wrestle with that. Because what will happen is you'll just be fighting against your own flesh, and there'll be no results. I think about that we're aware, we come to church, and I mean, I played church for a little while, and I just played in the fleshly part of it. I didn't quite understand that, you know, reading the Bible, I thought I'd have no desire to do that. And even though I'm a spiritual being today, I still sometimes struggle with desiring to do that. Because the flesh gets in the way. The flesh is so tired all the time. Like, you know, I just want to, you're just wrestling against that all the time. Or, you know, I'm supposed to spend lots of time in prayer. Like, you know, the fleshly desire of me is like, I don't want to pray for hours and hours and hours. You think about the disciples when Jesus was going to get executed, you know, was in the garden, he's about to be dragged off to be, you know, crucified on the cross, and the disciples kept falling asleep. And Jesus is saying, what's wrong with you weaklings, right? And they're just in their flesh. They're just, I can pray for 5 minutes, but then I get, it's tiring. And why would I want to do that? And I just fought for years and years and years. Like, I work hard. Like, I didn't have a lot growing up. Why would I ever give any of that away? Are you kidding me? Right? So there's part of the flesh that's like, I don't want to give either. And, so we kind of, you know, struggle with that, with the flesh. What does the flesh desire? But what deep down inside of your spirit, what does that desire? And that's kind of what was happening here. What communion can there be between God, who is spiritual, is a spirit being, and the soul, our flesh, in our fleshly condition? Now, I was so bad growing up. I just thought, God is this perfect God, and I am so far from perfect. Thinking in my flesh, how would God ever accept me? And you know what? There's a lot of truth to that. Because God can't accept sin and sickness and, you know, corruption and all these deceit and lies. God cannot accept that. But thank God that's why he sent Jesus. So Jesus could stand in our behalf and all the fleshly mistakes that we make. And when God looks at us, he sees Jesus in you. And he goes, whoa, that guy is awesome. And he looks at you and I, he goes, that guy is perfect and amazing. And we all know in our fleshly part, we're like, are you kidding me? I don't even deserve to be here, right? That's kind of our flesh, is the way it responds. Therefore, we cannot have a new nature, but we must be, as it spoke about, being born again. See, we can work harder. Have you ever tried to be nice? Like, I'm going to be nicer today. And there's just this deep down part of you that's just like, you're just frustrated and angry. And you're like, I'm going to be nice to you. And there's, but your body language is saying, you're not being very nice right now. You know, it's just, there's just this tension in there, and you're kind of wrestling with that. Because it's a new nature that is outside what your flesh can be taught. I think so often, you know, I honestly tried to be good for a lot of years. And then all of a sudden, I'd make one mistake, and I thought, it's like a reset button was hit. Oh, my word. I suck. You know, I'm not good. And it just was like this constant, like, I'm doing okay, I'm ahead, and bang, and doing okay, and bang, you know. But when Jesus comes in, and he takes what you think about and makes it spiritual, watch out. Because when you're spiritual, you realize, I am a sinner. But thank God, Jesus Christ came into my life, and I have authority over that sin. I have authority over that situation, and I will be nice because the Spirit of God is in me. Because the Spirit of joy and happiness and peace that cannot be duplicated, you can't do that on your own. It's only by the Spirit of God that comes inside of you. You've got to be born again. It's so, so important. The corrupt nature, which is the flesh, takes rise from our first birth, and therefore the new nature, which is our spirit, must take rise from a second birth. It's not fair that when you came out of the womb, you came corrupt and broken. What? I got gypped here. Are you kidding me? How did you choose that? You didn't choose that. But let me show you in the Bible what it says about that. We came out corrupt and sinners and broken. And that's why it's saying you have to be born again. Because if you just stay there from your birth all the way to your death, if you just stay in the fleshly birth, it's not good. But if you say, I'm going to get born again, I'm going to get born a second time. Again, head knowledge, just put it to rest right now. Nicodemus is like, I'm going to get inside my mother's womb. Anyway, that's weird. But if you take it seriously and you're like, I'm going to get born again, what does that look like? It's very important. John chapter 3, verse 4. Let's pull out verse 4 for a second and just be reminded. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he can't enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. If there was a situation like that, it wouldn't matter how many times Nicodemus relived that experience. I have four kids. I was there. It's not clean, and you know it's messy, and you could do that 100 times and you'd still come out corrupt and a sinner and broken, because that can't solve the problem. Somebody that's in the flesh, like a mom, cannot give birth to a spiritual being. It only happened one time, right? Only happened one time. Where something that was born that was of the Spirit, Jesus Christ, came into the world, and he was what? Perfect. But every other person that was born of the flesh, and they came out imperfect, corrupt, and broken. And that's why we have to get born again. This is probably like one of the top 3 to 5 messages that you need to hear. Because if you don't get this, the rest is difficult. You might as well not listen. Because if you don't get born again, if you don't get filled with the Spirit, and you're just plain church, you're just plain in the flesh, you'll struggle. It won't make sense. You'll get frustrated. You'll be like, "That why and who and where and why?" And you'll come here Sunday after Sunday like I did for so many years, just broken, a mess, and we'll love you. We'll pray for you. You go off to the side and we'll pray for you. We'll pray you get saved and healed and all that kind of stuff. But you're going to come here when you're full of the Spirit, when you get born again, and you'll say, oh, praise God, it's worship time. Instead of for so many years, I was like, I can't understand these songs. What does this mean? This is crazy. Why do you raise your hands? That's ridiculous. Why are people slain in the Spirit? Why are people speaking? It doesn't make sense in the flesh. But when you're born again of the Spirit, you're like, whoa, yes, it's worship time. You get to hear the Word of God. Yes, I'm hungry for the Word of God, because you want to feed your spiritual soul. And if you're not there, it's hard. If you're not there, it sometimes just doesn't make sense, because you can't wrap your mind around it. You have to let the Spirit come alive inside of you. You must be born again. Must become spiritual. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, it says this: but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat it, you will surely die. Jesus, God, is saying that to Adam and Eve. You can't eat from this tree because you will surely die. Okay, that's pretty serious. We know, we're going to read the rest of the story in just a second. When they ate of the fruit, may have been an apple, let's not go there today. Did they actually die? No, they didn't. But they died in some capacity, didn't they? Their spiritual bodies died, and they became fleshly beings in that moment. Adam and Eve, the first two people on the planet, were born from the ground. He got some little dust together, breathed the breath of life into it. They were spiritual beings. Why were they spiritual beings? Because they weren't born from a mother. They weren't born from any other place. They were born of God, and they had the Spirit of God in them. And when they ate of that fruit, The spirit died right in that moment. So they were still fleshly beings, but spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. And these are the great, 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 great to the 10th millionth power of our grandmother and grandfather. Born, you know, everything after that born was spiritually dead. We read here in verse 20, so Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. Adam named his wife Eve because she could be, because she became the mother of all living. All that the children after that were born separated from God. They were fleshly beings, right? So we understand that. Jumping down to verse 22. And the Lord said to them, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand again and take from the tree of life and eat it and live forever. Why was that so important? Why was God like, oh my gosh, we better get him out of here? Because in that moment, right, Adam and Eve ate of the first fruit, which separated them from God, spiritually dead. And if they would have eaten from the second tree, they would have lived forever. They would have been immortal, immortally separated from God. And God was like, we are not going to allow that to happen. So out you go, right? They kicked them out. It's so important that you get that. You have to understand that what happened there impacts us today. And I think the way I responded when I first heard that message in the flesh, I thought, that's unfair. I don't deserve that. I didn't do anything wrong. I was just born and now I'm a sinner. What? That doesn't make sense. But it does make sense when you understand the way it was written and how we've lived ever since then, right? Does that compute? That's so good. John chapter 3, let's get back to the story that we were originally talking about. You have to have that foundation. Otherwise, the rest doesn't make sense. So we know that we've been separated from God. Thank God that God didn't allow us to be eternally separated from him. He knew that was going to happen, that Jesus came so that we could be brought back to him. So John chapter 3, verse 7, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. See, Nicodemus was somebody that was very educated. This wasn't an individual that was like, and I'm not saying off the street is bad or anything, but he just didn't go to school, didn't have letters after his name. This was somebody that was very educated, very sharp with the word of God, knew all the Old Testament, knew all these stories. And he said, why are you surprised, Jesus is saying to him, about what I am trying to teach you? So the question is, really, how are we to be born again? If we've been separated from God and we're fleshly, how do we become spiritual beings? Great question. We need to know that. Matthew chapter 3, we spoke about two Sundays ago when I spoke about water baptism. But let me just refer back to it just for a second because it's John chapter 3, verse 11. I baptize you with water for repentance. John the Baptist just baptized people for repentance. But after me, after you've been baptized, you've been cleansed of, in a sense, you've come to Jesus, you come for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You see two different elements happening here, the Holy Spirit and fire. We know that when you get water baptized, you go into the water. Water is a cleansing agent, right? You know, you cleanse yourself. You get clean. You got the dishwasher. You got all those kind of things to get clean. So you're clean. But then you've got the Holy Spirit and fire who purify. What would fire do? Fire would like purify. So, hey, like the gold I'm wearing on my ring. You know, when you purify gold, you put fire to it. So it brings out all the imperfections, all the impurities. So God is saying, when I show up, impurities and imperfections and all that kind of corrupt will leave. Because of the Holy Spirit. So you'll be cleansed, washed clean. You'll be purified right down to the inner core of your body. All imperfections come out and you come up. Woohoo! You're good to go, right? So you've got the Spirit living in you after that moment. Not that those, the only, that are baptized will be saved. We have to understand that. That if we think that, oh, well, what happens when someone dies on their deathbed and they just give their lives to Christ? There's a great story in the Bible. It talks about the thief on the cross. So Jesus goes to the cross. He's hanging there. He's got two thieves who deserve to be next to him. And the one thief leans over to him and says, don't forget me. Did Jesus say, oh, shoot, you know, this is going to be difficult. I'm going to have to pull off a miracle to get you down here. Where's the closest water? Like, oh, Jesus can just create a bit of a lake, I'm sure, and throw them in the water. And then you'll be in paradise with me. It does not say that in the Bible, thank God. Because for those that get saved in the very last moment, can they make it to heaven? And the Bible's really clear about that. Absolutely, they can. But for those of us that have time on our hands and we've been saved, it's very, very clear that from today till we die, let's get baptized. Let's get filled with the Spirit. Let's make sure that we live a life that's Spirit-led until then. Let's not just sit around. So that was important to say, because when we're Spirit-filled, you know, we're protected by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God leads us through our lives. So it becomes, not that we don't face difficulties, but we can have victory in our difficulties. It's a very, very different way of looking at it. And what will happen for all believers who will be forgiven for all of their sins and allowed into heaven because of what Jesus has done for each one of us on the cross? That's the ticket to heaven, is what Jesus has done. How do we live? But until death, how are we going to live? Are we going to live in the flesh? Or are we going to live in the Spirit? And that's what we're talking about this morning, about being Spirit baptized, being born again. So what we believe, what the Bible is teaching us, is that just like Jesus was actually physically water baptized, that when you're baptized, you die to yourself, the Holy Spirit comes alive in you, you're cleansed with fire, we're purified, and we come up out of the water alive for Christ, being born again, being Spirit-filled. And that's what we're going to do this morning. I'm really, really excited to do that.